Great day, our dear sweet supporters. I am back. Welcome back to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by fundraisingtough.org ministries. I want to remind you all that this is a platform that serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, grounded in faith and honor to our Father. As you guys know, we discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience every day with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life-learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. So I want to encourage all of you to continue to support this podcast, support me, and continue to donate because every little contribution helps. So again, with that said, I want to welcome back a very familiar voice to the podcast. Mr. Thomas Lillard is back with us, guys. He's always a major supporter to the podcast and giving us that male perspective that many of you have asked for in the past. So you got it. Welcome back, Thomas.
Thank you, Jewel. I'm glad to be back. You know, we had another relaxation time, we want to call it that. And, you know, God, but you know, the devil and he never takes a holiday. Devil never takes a holiday. And, you know, so it's good to be back and ready to go. And I'm ready to do the scripture if you're ready for me to do so.
Yes, please, before you, start the scripture, let me just give them the title of today's podcast, which is Don't Let Them Steal Your Seat. Okay? And Thomas will be reading today's scripture, which is Romans 8, verses 26 through 31.
Yes, ma'am. All righty, here we go. So, Romans 8, 26 through 31, and it starts as this: and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, we've heard that verse quite a bit, you know, in my lifetime, in other words. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. Now this scripture, and this is what Jewel and I really think is most important about this, is what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Very strong closing with that scripture. I know many of you guys hear that line. I know I often say it as a reminder.
Yeah.
The day.
If God be before us, who be against us? Amen, amen. Yeah, Almost every day you have to say it. In this world. Yeah, we do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Thomas, for reading that scripture and coming onto this podcast. You know, I mentioned to you guys last week that we had to redo last week's podcast because of some hacking concerns, and this is the second podcast redo that Brother Thomas is helping out with, because this was also hacked. And so if you listened last week, you would probably have an idea as to what would cause that one to be hacked. And if you listen this week, you will also be have some open mind as to why this one was as well. But just a side note, Brother Thomas, I found myself singing the other day this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad.
Yes,
I don't know
beautiful
if you
song.
Recall
beautiful song.
That hymn, right? And I was thinking to myself, you know, these old school hymns just bring so much satisfaction to our souls.
Don't they?
You know,
they're meaty. They've got so much feeling, emotion, life lesson is all in the music. And what did, I think I've heard this before when I was growing up in education wise, doesn't it say something about music soothes the savage beast? And so, if in Psalms, in all the Psalms, those are David's songs. And basically, he's singing these songs as a reference to what was going on in his life. And these songs that he sings, the Psalms that he sings, those are relevant even in today's time. But, you know, when I was reading this Roman thing, I have a little bit of difficulty with weight. And I think, didn't Peter write Romans? Peter? Didn't he?
I believe so. I'll have to verify that by the next podcast.
I think a lot of this affected him whenever, you know, they came to him and they said, do you know him? And he denied Christ for, you know, three different times before the cock crowed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's influenced his writings because, he has to be so word salad? Do we want to say that? It's the truth. He could have said things a lot more plainer in these verses, in my opinion. It was hard to read, and I do apologize for that. But the last verse, the 31, is the most, it's got the most meat to it, in my opinion. Because it says, if God be before us, who can be against us? And that says it all. So I think Peter was looking back at his times when he was thinking, in my opinion, that he was thinking of, you know, when he got out of the boat and he walked across the water.
Yeah.
And he did something that was so amazing. And because who was in front of him? Who was in front of him? Jesus. He forgot about the storm, the torrent and all the waves and everything. He had his eyes, he had his whole thought process was focused on looking at Jesus. Now, if we could do that, in our lives, in this day and time, in all of this toil and strife that we're having to exist with, don't you think that we could do the very same thing? I think so.
Oh,
and we can start being that, be our focus. If God be before us, who could ever be against us? Amen, amen.
Amen. I also like the part where he mentions that whoever our Father calls, we've had many conversations in the past around individuals answering the call, individuals being chosen for a purpose.
Right.
And so
when he
discusses the fact that you know, you don't have to worry about whether or not these individuals are going to justify you.
Right.
You will be glorified in the Lord. And answer the call. Because a lot of times.
And he'll take care of you. God will take care of you. Exactly.
Yeah. So that was really powerful for me too in that scripture. But I wanted to jump right in, Brother Thomas. And I know the last podcast we did together, I did, call out, many of my Masonic and, the female version of that fraternity last week. I called them out.
The Eastern Star? The Eastern Star?
Yes, that's the female group. I challenged both to call out those that are hiding behind these groups, so to speak, and taking advantage of the connections to do heinous acts against women and children. And I can tell you today, there hasn't been much improvement in answering the challenge. Some might say they're even doubling down in the poor behavior.
I would say so.
Especially
I would say
my local lovely neighbors. But I want to say that even with asking politely to the leader to step up and call out this behavior and separate it from what the organization stands for, I'm hoping would be something more solid than what I'm seeing. So I'll say that I'm not going to be harassed into silence if that was the goal. And I'm going to ask my supporters as well to also continue to pour in your warm support to help me continue to shed light on what's going on, hopefully until our law enforcement also feels compelled to act and protect law-abiding citizens.
Right.
I mean, because the fact still remains. I'm not running, I'm not moving, and I'm not going to change my way of life for this illegal.
You don't need to. You don't need to because you got God in front of you. You got God in front of you. You don't need to.
And I will, continue to record as much as I can, share with all of you all of what I'm experiencing, and hopefully I'll have a documentary for you guys someday and explain how
an expose, Jewel, an expose, really?
That would be something, right? Ooh,
an expose.
Has run amok stemming from theft in my case. But with that said, let's go, guys. I'm ready. I got my receipts. I got my pictures. I got my video recordings. and we're gonna reveal the enemy's plots and schemes. We got this. So, I'm ready to bring forth whatever I need to the game. You know, one of the reasons I chose to share with all of you what is going on concerning our country and these groups not having checks and balances in place is because when women and children go missing, you have no clue exactly how long they have been targeted.
Right.
That's something that I think I never really thought about until I was looped into this mess, but it's not that they can't be located. It's that too many keep turning a blind eye to the red flags and how it escalates and how murders could essentially have been avoided for these payouts and contracts that were placed on
people's
lives. And
let me
give you an example of how simple it is. If let's say these same groups that I've mentioned, has affiliates with a certain hotel chain, for example. Let's just say the Marriott, right? If the owners there are affiliated with these groups, they can easily place cameras in certain rooms and have certain people, specifically placed in those rooms when they come and check in, right? You would be swagging because you've been targeted anyway, so. They can follow you. They reach out to their affiliates and say, make sure you put them in room 666. Who knows? They already have cameras in those rooms, which are placed there for trafficking purposes. These missing women and children will just disappear. You know, I thought it was so interesting to mention because I'm one of those people that pay close attention to little details that I don't know if everyone else does, but in every hotel room, I don't know if you've noticed, Thomas, but to the back of the door, they usually have a sort of disclaimer about trafficking.
Yes.
And it's there with purpose because a lot of people are trafficked at hotels, believe it or not.
Yes.
So that's why it's there. And I'm sharing
Jill, I want to say something about you mentioned hotel rooms. What they're saying now is, and I didn't think about this one until, apparently, you know, mirrors. Have you heard the thing about mirrors, Jewel? That basically they are a way of the demons to enter your realm through the mirror.
Sort of like a portal.
Which is freaky.
Yeah, I've heard of
that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so they were saying
when you go out to hotels and stuff, you should make sure that the mirror is covered. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Well, there's that.
I never heard
also
that.
Also, the double-sided mirror where someone's watching you through the mirror.
Well, that's true, too, because we don't know. Exactly. Because there are rooms, you know, there are hotels in here that do have cameras. And they like to record, I guess, certain things. Weird stuff, I guess.
As a travel agent. Yes. It is.
Yeah, but then they're saying through the mirror itself. I've actually seen a video where they're showing. It's so weird. They take a magic marker and they draw a square. And then they take and put tape over it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they peel it off, it reveals that it's a window.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so people have been watching you through that mirror. Weird. Yeah. And you don't know it.
This is my point of why I'll continue sharing information about trafficking and protecting women and children, because I strongly believe that I'm my sister and brother's keepers, and this stuff is really happening. And I think it's not that people are naive, but I think we are so busy and we assume that things would be done ethically. And we're coming to a point where we're going to be in for a rude awakening about the way things have been operating without any proper regulation.
Yes. And I've got something to say about that, but you finish what you're going to do, and you know what I'm going to talk about.
I don't know exactly, but I did want to touch on, I'm going to touch a little bit on my diabolical family and their connections with a lot of this, these crimes that I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to tap into what you're dealing with as well, Brother Thomas. So those of you who know me and follow me know that I have quite a history working in financial crime compliance, you know, with banking and identifying money laundering and terrorist financing. I've done that for quite some time. And I think that what's been really eye-opening, at least for me, is seeing how easy it is for individuals or groups to manipulate the system.
Uh-huh.
And that infuriates me, because I initially came into the field with this vigor of identifying, so-called financial crime or criminals, only to
mm-hmm.
find out that people are targeting elders and placing fraudulent transactions on their accounts and having them identified as suspicious parties over and over again, but they're being targeted because their names were somehow placed on a black market, or their families entered into some contract to target them. Whatever the case may be, it's really obnoxious what's happening and how these people are told that they're not able to open up accounts. And Brother Thomas, I don't know if you feel comfortable sharing some of your experience.
I do, if you want to. No, yes, I will. I will. So basically, people, back in September, late September of 2023, T-Mobile, and a lot of y'all may have T-Mobile, in the Washington, D.C. area, was hacked. And my phone, because of being connected to T-Mobile at that time and being in the Washington, D.C. area, my phone was compromised. And this compromising incurred not only that my phone was wacky, I couldn't upload, download, I couldn't even have a connection to my online banking. And so I contacted T-Mobile and I said, hey, hey, what's going on here? I said, oh, we don't know, we don't know. I said, oh, yes, you do know, because I've already talked to an investigator and I know very well that y'all were told about this over a year ago, that there would be the possibility of this happening. You were vulnerable and you did nothing about it. And so they said, well, and I said, well, and they said, well, we're prepared to give you a prepaid gift card. What? $50. I said, well, I'll be nice to you and I won't cuss, but I told them what they could do with that. And it's basically where you put it where the sun don't shine. Anyway, so I said to them, I said, you don't realize what I'm having to go do. I'm going to have to go get brand new ID, picture ID. I'm having to go get brand new account numbers. I'm having to go get brand new credit card numbers, everything, because all of this stuff has been compromised. And I thought that basically all that had come to an end. No, no, people. Just when you think it's the I guess it's when the calm before the storm. And that's what I definitely was experiencing. So now I'm in the storm. And the storm is this, that these people who have ever sold my ID, my IP address, whatever, to the dark web, have now been deciding that they like to go in and play games. And so the games are these. They go in and they try to enter into my bank account. And, of course, mm-hmm. that sends a red flag, we're talking about flags, to, you know, the bank. And they say, whoa, wait a minute here, you know, we can't do this. And so PNC, but this has happened within a month, people. PNC, who was at my local bank, because I had lost Navy Federal because of fraudulent charges. And I'd also had, like, DuPont Community Credit Union, that was my other bank. Of course, that's 2 hours away. But it was all right because I had the online banking. Well, they took that away from me because they said that somebody was trying to hack into my account 6 different times. And they said, can't have that. Lisa kept me, at least I was able to keep the bank because PNC basically shut the door. No way, no how. They severed the ties with me. And then just yesterday or day before, I was notified and I had just set up this account with United Bank. And it was giving me online service, and it was actually, they did it as a veteran's account, which is fantastic. And I'm not a veteran, but my father was. And so they gave me that capability. And I was so happy. I contacted Jewel and told her about it. And she was so happy as well. And so then that basically went live on the 24th, and you realize what today's date is. So they contacted me and said, you've had 2 transactions to try to hit the bank. I said, what? And they said, one is from the UK and one's from Brazil. I'm going, I had nothing to do with this. But they won't deal with me, people. And that's what Jewel's referring to. So, yes, it is attacking, I think, a lot of senior citizens. When I was talking to my sister, Tricia, she actually works for DuPont Community Credit Union as a trainer for all the tellers. And they know about these stories about people that think, you know, well, they just give them innocently. They ask for their email address or they ask for their phone number or stuff like that, and they don't know what they're doing. And so then they get access to the bank. And so, you know, these banks have got this safeguards against it. I guess that's what it is, Jewel. Maybe you can enlighten them on this after I finish. But, you know, that's just part of it. And so now I'm basically frozen. I don't have a local bank again. I talked to a representative from the bank. And she told me, she says, Thomas, you need to look at getting a different email. And I'm going, okay. And so I said, I have an older one. She says, okay, send that to me, and you'll watch it for a couple of weeks and see if you don't get any kind of weird, like, messages. And people, y'all need to look. Pay attention to your emails. Because you'll get they almost look like spam messages. But there'll be certain things where, oh, you've made a change in your account number. Oh, or you've changed your phone. These different things. That means somebody has gotten something of yours and you need to get corrected immediately. Because if you don't, and then say you have online banking like I did, then they can get into those cards. Because they're extremely, extremely intelligent people that are doing these hackings. And there's so many of them that are happening nowadays. It's just amazing how many people are being just tormented by it.
It's a network.
Yes, Jill.
It's a network of sophisticated individuals that once you're targeted, unfortunately, these individuals are taking your personal information and just constantly trying to commit all kinds of fraudulent acts against you and make it appear as if you are a suspicious party.
Like I'm a terrorist. Please. I'm a 67-year-old terrorist. Thank you. No, I'm not. Mm-mm. I'm a senior citizen, and I'm a citizen.
And the thing is, I mean, what I'm saying, you guys can pretty much Google and verify, because I work in the field, but these financial institutions, they communicate with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when dealing with suspicious parties. And so it's really unfortunate, when people, innocent people, are targeted and not identified properly as victims, as those enduring elder abuse cases.
Yeah.
When it's not identified properly, then these individuals are kind of left out of luck and out in the cold without any bank, because no one wants to bank with someone who's, you know, doing a
who's blacklisted, let's just say it, who's scum of the earth, blacklisted, who are thieves or whatever.
Another country and placing the bank at risk, and it's really not that person's fault. And, you know, I applaud the branch manager because she obviously can tell that you were a victim of elder abuse and targeting, and she was so kind, but she could only do what was within her realm of doing. And she was very kind to Brother Thomas and you know, understood what's going on. But we really need to delve a little bit deeper, guys, and by guys I mean law enforcement, on a federal level of
identifying. Oh, they want to deal with you, the federal level.
Identifying what's happening here with these groups that are targeting innocent people. Because if we don't, they're just gonna really bury a lot of innocent people financially and just their lives, all together, unless we start really making some changes and holding, these people accountable for these, treacherous acts that affect people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, share that story with you guys, and thank you, Thomas, for allowing me to share your story, because it does bother me as someone who works in financial crimes. I almost feel like we're losing our footing in what we set out to
do. Well, the thing of it is, you know, and people out there listening, you know, you don't think about it until it's at your back door. And I didn't think about it, really, you know, until right there at my back door. And now I don't have a financial institution. It's just crazy.
It's not fair to you. It's not fair to you. And it won't be fair to others if we don't identify what's happening here and put an end to it. So I definitely wanted to touch base on that. And Brother Thomas, I'm sorry that for whatever reason you two have experience some targeting there, and hopefully they could pinpoint
what I'm going to say is what we just read in the scripture: if God be before for me, who can be against
who
me
be against
and
me.
So
amen.
I get up every day, people, and I say my belief prayer. So even though I got the bad news, okay, that they were shutting down the account, and I went to the bank, and I think I'm gonna cry. So I went there and I told them, I said, what is going on here? And they said, well, you know, you've been targeted, these two things. And I said, I don't know anybody in that. And I tried to tell them about the phone and, you know, that had been hacked and everything. And then I said, They said they, I only had $10 in the bank, people, so it's not like they're looking for banks that's got large amounts of money in them. They don't.
No,
they don't.
Clearly targeted. They weren't looking
yeah,
for your money. They
and
were
so
looking
I had $10. So it was a check that I had gotten people from a doctor, a neurological doctor, and I didn't even know it was coming. They didn't notify me or anything, and then I went down to get my mail, and lo and behold, there was a check there for $10, and so it said United Bank, and I hadn't thought about United Bank. So I went there to just cash the check out, and then before I went in the doorway, God said, don't do that. Open up an account. And so I did, and I mean, it was miraculous. They were wonderful people. They were so sweet, so kind. And so then I thought everything's great, you know? And then I got contacted. I had a voicemail from the branch manager, and she was saying, you need to contact me immediately. And, of course, I called, and so she wasn't there. She was off that day. And so I talked to the other, his name was Oscar, and we had a nice little conversation. And then, you know, I came in the next day, and I'm going, what's going on? And they said, well, and they were kind of looking at me kind of strange, and they said, oh, he's the one. I'm going, what? So they had already closed the account, and they had put a check, a cashier's check in the mail to me. And so I said, so I don't have the account anymore. And they said, no. And I'm going, okay. I said, I was kind of hoping that I would still have the bank, a local bank. And they said, no, sir, it's not our choice. You know, we have to follow what they call the back office. And Jewel can enlighten you on that. But they said, there's not much that we can do. And I said, I have $1 in my wallet. And, the branch manager, she had compassion and she went to the teller and she had the teller hand her a $10 bill. And so she gave me that $10, people, to put in my wallet. And you don't know when until you get in a situation where you don't have any money how much you rely on the love and compassion of others. And So because I had lost the $10, I got $10 back. And so I'm expecting that cashier's check to come. And when it does, it'll give me an extra $10. So God's blessing me, you know, in spite of all this. And that's what we need to hear, people. You know, in spite of all of this strife and this adversities that I'm facing, mm-hmm. as being a modern-day Job, I know and put my trust in God, and I don't put it in any man. And God's there. And as long as you believe in that God has your back, and like it says in the scripture here, I mean, in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So I'm in God's mercy. I'm in God's hand every single day. Amen, amen. God, Jewel, what would I do if I didn't have God in my corner? What would I do?
I have no idea.
And I'm saying, people, y'all don't need to let yourself get into that situation. You need to put on the full armor of God. And you need to say, this world is evil. Very evil. And I'm going to interject something here, Jewel, if you don't mind. I don't know if y'all watched the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. Just happened the other day. But there's some shocking videos that have come out. And I think what is going on is, you know, it's in Paris. And if y'all remember the movie Da Vinci Code, do you remember that with Tom Hanks in it? Or what it dealt with? Well, you know, when he did the Mona Lisa, he was inspired by that, Da Vinci was. And apparently there is a satanic type of thing involved in that Da Vinci Code. And then, you know, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, David something, I want to say. But anyway, he wrote the book, and he came up with a sequel to it called Devil devil and demons and devils or something like that. And so that's what we're facing right now, people. And so with the Olympics, getting back to that, the debauchery and the outward just in your face, you know, we heard about, and wasn't that in Paris too, Jewel, Balenciaga? Is that not, is that in the Paris, you know, fashion world? Is that right? Am I right about that?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't really follow their line, but
Anyway, remember I was saying that there was this guy that basically was going to, you know, step up to the plate and say, hey, you can't be doing what you're doing. And they have a new mannequin that's in the front window. You get my meaning? And he's that new mannequin. Okay? So that means that this evilness that's out there is evil. And so if you watch that, and I don't want to encourage you to go watch it just for the heck of watching if you didn't catch it, but they did a satirical portrayal of the Last Supper. And really in your face. You know, the Last Supper was something that God and Jesus had done because he knew he was not long to be on this earth. And so he gathered all of his disciples, and they had basically a Last Supper together. And there's a lot of symbolism in that, and there's a lot of truth-telling in that, because Jesus basically told them, he says, you know, you people that are here with me, and you're the followers of me, and you are, you know, you've been with me all this time, but there are some of you here in this group that will betray me, will deny me. And quite frankly, Peter is the one who said, not me, Lord. I shall not ever deny you, he says. And Jesus came back to him and says, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And it's the truth. And it happened. But then there's others that betrayed, like Judas. You know, Judas, they were taking the cup and passing it around. And I guess it was like bread had bread and wine, Jewel. And so he dipped. You know, whenever Jesus did it, he did, here's my body, and they broke bread, and then the wine, that's his blood, and they did that. That was and I think at church, we always have the Lord's Supper, same thing. And basically, it's atonement, and it's basically saying, you know, that you recognize the body of Christ, and you recognize the blood that was sacrificed for your, you know, your sins, and that kind of thing. But what this was doing for the Olympics was they were making a satirical drama thing about it, or production, where they had these people in these bright colors. And when you go and compare the picture, and I forget who painted that picture of the Last Supper. Was it Da Vinci? Did Da Vinci paint the Last Supper? Huh?
I think he did.
So, oh my God, that makes chills at me. So then, when he did that portrayal, and he did the colors of their robes and everything, people, when you look at the opening ceremonies, they were dressed in the same color schemes. And they had the person that was supposedly representing Jesus in the center of it. You know, if you look at the one that I think maybe Da Vinci painted, it has God with like Jesus with a glow over him, you know, over his head, a halo type of thing. Well, they had done it where they had this lady, heavyset, and she basically was there in the center of the table, and all these other characters beside her, and she had this spiked crown on her head. Now then, it comes to say that this particular spiked crown was totally representative of Satan and satanic worship. So here you've got, they're in Paris, they're in front of all those millions of people watching on television, and they outwardly display satanic ritual. Jewel, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, what's being revealed to us, I think, day to day in a lot of these various ceremonies, not just the Olympics, but even musical ceremonies or...
Yeah. Oh, my God. Taylor Swift. Yes. The Taylor Swift concert. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. You got
of things that are not of God. But You know, Thomas, I wanted to delve in a little bit more because I know last week I told you guys I was going to share and lift the veil on some other things. And I want to touch on that a little bit, if you don't mind, Thomas. And
oh, go ahead, Jewel. My goodness, we've got so much to cover. And these people are probably going, Jesus Christ, how can these two people go through all this? Well, when you are the chosen, when you are the chosen, you will face these adversities. Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. So I shared with you guys what happened, of course, with Brother Thomas. And again, just from a back office standpoint, once someone's placed on like a terrorist list or so forth, if you don't come off and there isn't any real checks and balances after that, which is unfortunate, and individuals' lives can be made very difficult with people doing things like that. Which brings me to my own side of my family. And I spoke with you guys and their titles and positions and affiliations that they use to commit financial crimes. You know, I think it's a little bit ironic for me to actually work in a field and see how it could happen and then witness it firsthand, whether it be happening to me or happening to Brother Thomas. It's just a little ironic, but in any case, we definitely need some type of checks and balances in place for specific groups in this country. And
One thing, Jewel, people don't think of it, and I surely didn't either, until it hits close to home. And when you got that expression, hits close to home. Yes, hits close to home. Literally, hits close to home. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely right, Thomas, because what happens essentially is that, and we spoke briefly about this last week, so when you are targeted, right, by the group, they don't come right out and tell the community, hey, we're targeting this person because they have inheritance and we're trying to steal it. And so this is why, they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is tell the community some made-up blasphemous story about this particular individual. Like, we're bullying this person because, I don't know, I'm thinking of some made-up story. Who knows? They'll probably say something about they did something to a child, let's say.
Yeah, you they know, do deceptively. Yes, they try to point things.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, everyone wants to protect children, so of course you're like, oh, if they did something to a child, I'm totally on board with you violating their rights and privacy and so forth. But the irony of it all, again, is they're doing things to children. They're waging spiritual war against children and making up these lies and fallacies on innocent people out of greed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the frustrating and hypocritical part of it all, to say the least. But, you know, it's just amazing that people don't realize it. And if you have family members halfway as diabolical as mine are, they would sell you out. They sell their children out very easily.
And they've been targeting your children as well. And, you know, I just want to say something here. You know, Jesus felt like, and if y'all remember, whenever he was doing his preachings, he said, let the children come unto me. Because, you know, he had special time for them and best special stories for them. But he said, the children are our future, and they are. And so if we have this societies now that are targeting children, what does that say about us?
Yeah.
What does that say about us? You know, that we're now seeing these innocents, you know, and they are innocents, and they don't know what's going on, and they don't understand, and then they're in this evil clutches, and they don't know what to do. So, you know, that's kind of hard to swallow when you think about it, but all I can say is that at that particular time when that evilness is so much around them, I just pray and I hope and I think that Jesus basically just puts a shield over them, you know?
Yes.
That he basically keeps them from harm,
mm-hmm.
keeps them from harm. Because, you know, we can't be everywhere in every place, but you do know of things like this going on in your community, or if you know about it in your family, or if you're a mm-hmm. victim of it, and you've been, and you've been kind of had to be kind of get into the darkness and try not to be into the light, because you don't want people to know what happened to you. It was like, you felt violated, but you felt like you must have done something to bring it about. That's what a lot of people have been abused have actually thought about, like maybe an uncle or something that's come to them and maybe, you know, did something, you know, physical to them, and they thought, I must have done something that brought it on. I must have done something. And so they take on the guilt. God is saying, no, you should not feel guilty. That person who did that to you is the one that has the sick mind. But there's so many of these abused people, children, and they grow up to be adults, that they just feel like, I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I'm damaged goods, okay? And a lot of them can't cope with society. A lot of them even turn to the evilness themselves, Jewel, and that's the hardest thing to believe. That you would think that somebody that actually has had those things done to them would turn around in their adult age and do the same thing to another young child. That's
sickening.
Just amazing.
It's
but that's the evilness, see? That's
and
it.
They don't.
It's the evilness.
They don't step out of it, right? Because these people, right?
Well, the demon's inside them, Jewel. The demon is inside them and stays there.
Well,
unless they come into the light and the light shines and then the demon is driven out. But if not that case, then it stays within them. It's like, you know, it's like a layers and layers and layers are buried and it's just in your soul, you know? And so if you don't have something to bring them out, to get them out of that encasement that they're in, then that's why I feel like these people who've been abused normally turn back into abusers themselves. And so, like you say, the cycle continues. It never ends. It never ends.
The thing is, Thomas, a lot of these individuals and these groups are raised with elders that came out of the groups, and they passed down these blood oath traditions to the next generation, and they show them how to target, how to harass, how to isolate, how to manipulate local law enforcement and federal agencies with their members. So this is a cycle that pretty much continues unless someone's brave enough to say, hey, I don't want to be part of this demonic activity anymore.
Right. Now, there is somebody that everyone knows because she had the TV show and everybody followed her. And we know her name starts with an O. So you know that she said that she was abused when she was a child. And so she says, you know, that she attacked Michael Jackson because of the fact that it was said that he attacked children. I don't know if that was the case or not. I think that maybe it's been an over-dramatization. But it has come to light that she had that school in Africa.
But that's a prime example. I don't want to cut you off, but that's a prime example of how they can get you on board to dislike someone like we were talking about earlier, right? So once they said that about him, our whole demeanor towards him changed.
Oh, my God,
And now they can really start to bully him because you know, they created this fictitious story. And I don't know the whole facts, but I'm just saying
what he did was with his Neverland, if y'all ever follow it, it was basically like a child's amusement park. Because when he was growing up, he wasn't a child.
He missed out on his childhood. And I've gotten that from him as well. I you know, just personally,
using my own discernment, I just felt like he wanted to relive
yes,
the youthful time.
He did. He loved to see them excited. He loved to see their eyes when their eyes lit up, and they were so excited.
Yeah.
And basically, he chose children that were not a real, I guess, not a financial means or whatever, but he saw something in them that basically was something similar to what he was. Because y'all remember, the Jackson 5 were not always that popular. I mean, it started out with, you know, the brothers, and then little Michael came along, and he stole the show. Everybody thought, oh, he's the one kid wonder. And so his father saw it, and I really truly believe that, you know, his father, I'm not sure exactly what his father did to him. I know the mother stood by and let things happen.
That's similar to the abuse that I'm talking about with his, his father and his parents. He was sold out by his own parents. And that's
family.
What I'm trying to hit home with you guys, is that the ones closest to you are signing these contracts and selling you out to be sacrificed, to be murdered, to be the source of their prosperity by any means necessary.
Well, I can't say, what was his name? What was Michael Jackson's father's name? Joe? Was it Joe?
Joe, I believe. Mm-hmm.
So Joe basically said, hey, we got some talented kids here. And this young one and his sister, they are the ones that we can see them as the shining stars, you know. And so we're going to profit off of them. Now, my God, you know, here's parents that are profiting off of children, their children. So basically, they sold their children into slavery, Jewel. It's what they did.
That's what's happening every day, Thomas. I mean, he's a prime example that we can see and recognize, right? But it's happening to many that are not well known. And the key takeaway is that these are gifted children. And what I mean by gifted, in Michael's case, right, he was musically gifted.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
In heaven, they say that the best singing angels would sing for the Lord.
I think he was a young little angel. I do.
He was a young little walking angel here with us. And there's many among us that are clairvoyant, that have special psychic abilities. These are the ones that are being sold out into slavery to be sacrificed at some point. And we need to identify what's going on, right?
Why?
Because it's gotten so far out of control, right, that these groups are getting communities involved.
Right. Well, Jewel, you know, it has to do a lot with what we were talking about a few podcasts before, where we were talking about P. Diddy and all of that mess. But what started coming to light even more so is all the kids, I don't know if some of the people that are listening follow Disney. But, you know, Disney and Disney kids, almost all of those children have been abused. Almost all of them. And it's because their parents,
they've turned their eyes away from it.
Yeah, they turned their eyes away from it. They're saying, you know, little Johnny, little Susie, you know, this is mommy and daddy's way of getting to our, you know, our prosperity. And you don't want us living in the trailer park anymore, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And so they put all of this pressure on those children.
They would have their children suffer. They would volunteer to have their children tested on, to be examined with all kinds of weaponry and just sickness. It's complete sick, selfish behavior that some parents are doing to become prosperous right here in this country, and probably in many more. But I'm speaking about right here, which is supposedly the land of the free. And this selling out bit that's happening here, it needs to come to an end. It really does.
We need to open our eyes
and acknowledge what's happening and protect innocent, gifted individuals. The gifts that are given to individuals are given by God. It is not something to sell out or to abuse or to murder or to steal. It is given by God. These innocent children are not at fault for being gifted whatever it is that God has gifted them. I'm sorry, Thomas. I get really passionate about it.
Well, no, and I appreciate that. That's the passion in you, and that's exactly right. And I'm trying to remember, oh, my God, who was in The Wizard of Oz? Who was the actress?
I don't recall.
Dorothy? Dorothy. The actress. What was her name?
Yeah, I don't know her actual name.
Well, Liza Minnelli was her daughter. Well, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of her name right now to save my life. But anyway, apparently, her mother paraded her all the way around, you know, the Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And basically said, you know, you need to look at this child star. You know, she's going to be the future and all these places. And she started, you know, letting her, you know, what's her name? Dang it, I can't think of her name. What is her name? Oh, this drives me crazy. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Anyway, she basically, you know, had to go to the production offices, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The producers, and they had their way with her.
Oh, my God.
And that ruined her as a young star. And that caused her to be on pills, alcohol, all of it, because she could not block it out of her mind. Now, we saw her as a very talented individual, and she was. Oh, she had a beautiful voice. And very pretty. And, you know, she had her torments all through her life. And then her daughter, it transferred right to her daughter as well, Liza Minnelli. Y'all know about the issues that she had. But it just goes to show that, you know, even family members growing up can be influenced by that evilness. And it's awful. It's just awful. Sorry, I had to interject that, but it just means it goes back so far, people. We had no idea, how far back it goes. It's just crazy.
And it's not just the Hollywood thing, because I know some of us are so busy with our lives that we can never imagine selling our children out. But this is happening like right next door to you. Like people are. Already, once they have identified a specific gifted child, they're selling them out as young as babies and putting contracts on their lives, you know, that these children will have to deal with at some point in time. You know what I mean? And it's not only unfair to these children, but it's disgusting how we're continuing to allow it and not speak up and hold these groups accountable for what they're doing, right? Because we don't, the idea of attacking an innocent person because God blessed them with gifts is totally insane. It's totally insane.
Right.
So I urge you, parents who have identified special gifts, special blessings on your young ones, one, keep it to yourself, please. Two, guard that child with your life, because right now we're in a time where it's really dumb, right? People are thinking that they can take a gift that God gave from someone to someone else, and they call it destiny swapping, and they want that child's blessing to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds insane, but this is what's happening here on a spiritual level. These individuals will attack even a young child, a young innocent child.
Hey, Jewel, I'm sorry. I had to look up what that was driving me crazy, you know, me, and I get worried about names and stuff. Judy Garland, people. Judy Garland.
Oh,
when she was a child star, she was phenomenal. And her mother was a single mother, And she basically, it doesn't sound similar to all these child stars that are coming up nowadays, Jewel, that they have a single mom, and they basically, you know, they throw the carrot out there to them, and they say, hey, you know what? Your little darling there, she's going to make us lots and lots of money. And you just need to sit back and just let us do what we're going to do. Don't you worry. We've got them taken care of. We'll get them educated and all this kind of stuff. And but then they're profiting off of the good looks or the beauty or the talent or whatever of these little individuals. And they do horrible things to them. And that's what's so bad. What's so bad?
That's what we're emphasizing here today, guys, is that this is family doing this to these innocent little children. And even some grown adults still, you know, be willing to sign a contract and have you killed for your destiny or whatever it may be. And, you know, the sad thing is, you know, they would sign these contracts and cry with fake tears at your funerals with pre-planned obituary speeches all for that dollar, guys. I mean, it's totally insane. The level of insanity we have reached in society.
Well,
is
Jewel, and the other thing I want to say is, and we y'all have used this phrase, you know, we want to who's behind the curtain? Do you remember the Wizard of Oz? You know, the big big Oz. Oh, everybody's scared of the big Oz, right? And he made people, you know, he controlled people. Well, is that not the devil? Who controls people? And so then, you know, Dorothy peeked behind the curtain and she saw it was this little bitty man. You know, and they're going, why are they scared of you? He said, because they never would listen to me otherwise, you know. So there's so many lessons, Follow the Yellow Brick Road. I mean, y'all look at that movie. Look at that movie deeply, because there's some things in there. I mean, you know, I got the Tin Man, okay, and he wanted a heart, and the Lion, he wanted courage. Are these not aspects of what we want when we're growing up, Jewel?
Yeah.
Are they not?
Yeah.
And so if this particular story, I mean, they do it character-wise, and you realize that it's all due to a tornado that comes through the town in Kansas, and basically she hits her head, and so she has this dream, and that's what it's all about. But really, whoever wrote this particular story was telling a story within the story, I do believe, because you realize they have witches. They have witches, Jewel.
Yeah.
They have a bad witch and they have a good witch, Glinda the good witch. What was Glinda all about? Goodness and, you know, and mercy. And then you had the evil witch. What was she about, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, she wanted to control everybody. So see, even though this story, and we went there, you know, and watched it and were amazed by the music and the costuming and the voices and the storyline itself, it was something I remember watching. I don't know if you remember when you on Halloween. Did you remember when they used to play Wizard of Oz on Halloween?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah,
a long time ago. I know, but they did. They did. But here's the thing. So do you remember the child organization that you would always see that would be producing it?
Oh, I don't recall that.
Well, it happened to be a child organization that, skips my mind now, but anyway, they are the ones that they looked for donations. And so you remember what I'm talking about? You would look for donations for these children, the underprivileged, and they would show these kids like in Africa, starving children or whatever, and it would tug at your heartstrings. And basically they use this TV, you know, production as a means for them to get their monies from these underprivileged kids. And what they did with that monies is it was corruption. So in other words, they used, you know what I'm talking about? They used this production to show these children that were in a, you know, poverty-ridden or whatever, you know, realms, and basically you people, you know, how can you sit there in your homes and you not be willing to give just a few dollars? Don't you remember the little thing? Just a few dollars.
The dollar a day kind of
donation. And what we didn't realize, we really thought, we believed the story. We believed that there were those underprivileged children. And it comes to find out, people, that 9 times out of 10, that was a rare occasion. They might find some kid to say, hey, you know, you got a little bit of heavy belly there. Let me let you be this person who's, you know, starving. And you got this, you know, this bloated stomach or whatever. And they always made sure there were flies flying around them. You remember that, Jewel?
Yeah. They sure did.
You know, and they were flying at the flies.
It almost became symbolic of poverty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, people, when you go to those places in Africa, you don't find that. You don't find that.
No,
because let me
like
tell you
that.
Something. These African villages, they didn't let their children starve. No. No, 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 no. They didn't. And so we were taught and were shown something that was not always so true. And so we gave up our little bit of our money, especially a lot of senior citizens did this, Jewel, I swear they did. They would watch that commercial, and they would say, you know what, Mabel, can we not just give to that organization so that those little kids can go and they can have some kind of rice or some kind of porridge or something like that? And they did.
Uh-huh.
They gave their last dollar for that deception. For that deception. Sorry, I got off topic a little bit, but I just brought that to life, you know. Yeah. Evil is evil no matter what it is.
Yes, thank you, Thomas, for adding that. You're absolutely right. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, you know, how sometimes we look back in history and we say that, you know, this person or this film was ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And you know, I was just thinking to myself, Thomas, that I wonder if one day someone might say that about us in speaking the truth and pointing out what's hidden and lifting the veil on it and realizing, oh, my goodness, they were talking about that back then and very fearlessly and very candidly telling us what's going on, how are these people turning up missing, how are they doing these fraudulent transactions, how they're getting away with it, and how they're using communities to target and get and harass.
I agree, Jewel, and I'll tell you one thing. We had a glimpse of it. If everybody knows George Orwell's 1984,
mm-hmm.
is that not exactly what we're dealing with right now?
Mm-hmm.
That you go through life and you're just a drone. You know, you're not a special person anymore. You're just a number. And you're made to conform to whatever is going on. And you've got Big Brother watching you. Don't you feel like you've got Big Brother watching you? We do.
Oh,
so George Orwell. yes. And the government, the twisted, evil government. In George Orwell's 1984, you know, they painted, it was black and white, if you remember the movie version of it. It was black and white. And that's symbolic as well. That's symbolic as well because everything, you know, you don't see what goes on in the shadows. You don't. And you got to realize that our government has got a shadow as well.
Yeah.
And that shadow is what we've got to bring out into the light. And this is what we're all going back to. You know, you don't wait for this shadow to show up at your back door before you do something about it. You got to expose the demons. Expose
that's
the evilness.
Right. Lift the
veil
and expose
them. Yes.
And you know what, Brother Thomas, speaking of exposing, I want to share some telltale signs of these kind of financial crimes that are going undetected. And hopefully,
Go ahead.
Law enforcement somewhere over the rainbow is listening to this podcast and will come up with
the rainbow. I love how we're incorporating, oh my God, the Wizard of Oz. God, I wonder if God ever thought we would do that with Wizard of Oz, but my goodness. I mean, you know, whatever jogs your memory. Wizard of Oz, yes. Over the rainbow. Somewhere over the rainbow. Right, yes. Mm-hmm. Way up
high. I knew you would like that one.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I love that song anyway. I think that is a song that a lot of kids grow up, well, maybe not this day and time, but I know I did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would sing that. And you could just, it was like, That's heaven, people, somewhere over the rainbow.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping that, law enforcement somewhere over the rainbow will take in some of this information and bring about some much-needed change, right? And I'm going to share with them some telltale signs that maybe either this group is so sophisticated in creating that they haven't had the time to nip away at, but look no further. Auntie Jewel is here to break it down for you, right?
Bring it on, Jewel.
You
bring
it
on.
Roll out that carpet, Thomas, because here comes the truth.
All righty.
If you, one of the telltale signs is, for one, if your family members are beginning to pillage through your property, anticipating your death, well, it's a very good chance that a contract was signed and life insurance was already invested in. Which brings
That's
me
freaky.
To something else. It is very freaky. You know, if you notice that there's a lot of people passing away in one particular family unit, and there always seems to be a particular person that benefits off of these deaths, whether it's through life insurance payments or, they just always miraculously end up with that person's property of some sort, whether it be
well, not just that, Jill, but also society status. You know, if
yes.
one of them is knocked off because, you know, that of their status or whatever, then the other person rises to the top, you know, like a crab in the bucket.
They rise the coattails to the top. Yes, and it's something that can be identified. I don't know how the insurance companies report their cash payout, but there should be some type of typology.
There should be a record.
Communication.
There should be a record.
With other companies that, hey, we're all paying out this family member over and over and over. And you know, that should be a red flag to law enforcement. Like, what's going on here? You got four life insurance payouts this year.
Can I tell them about Katie Strickland?
Sure. Sure.
All right, and I'm sorry, but this brings it to light. So you had this sweet nurse, right? Now, she actually got convicted, people, and she did die, I think, in prison or whatever. But basically what Katie did, she was this nurse, and she was working in a hospital, and she come across these elderly people, and she says, you know, you're not getting the best of care here. I think you should come live with me. And so they would. And she would be the sweetest thing to them, and she would talk to them and basically become family, you know, for them. But what she then did would be that she had them sign over everything to her, all of their inheritance, all their monies, and especially life insurance policies. And so when they finally got the life insurance policy signed, sealed, and delivered, Jewel, do you know that those people suddenly became so ill they died?
What?
And it turns out that she was poisoning them.
Poisoning.
And she did this over and over and over again until finally one family member said, where is Aunt Jane or whatever? And she says, well, she went to live with Katie. And they said, who's Katie? She said, well, she's a nurse and she's been taking such good care of her. Well, have you been going in and seeing her? No, but she's talking to me on the phone or she's writing to me and she's saying, you know, how happy she is and all these things. And then she says, but what happened with Aunt Jane's, you know, money? Well, I don't know. And it turns out Katie had it. She had set up bank accounts. And all that money was funneling back into her account. And so here was this good Samaritan type of nurse, right? Yeah. Sweet, nice, kind. And in the end, she killed them. For all the monies. Yeah.
But
just thought I'd interject that in there. And that's a true story, by the way. You can look up Katie Strickland.
I'm glad you did, because you pointed out some key things there that I'm mentioning, that's still, this is not just happening in that movie. This is happening in real life. People are poisoning
people through their food and killing them. They
Slowly, not fast, very slow death.
You know, and
won't be detected.
Yes, it's going undetected. But if you are raising a red flag and saying, "Hey, look, someone's trying to kill me for inheritance," then that's something you should look very closely into. Also,
like if they suddenly, like if they suddenly change, you know, their policy or maybe their will, they suddenly change their will. And everything that was going to go one way is now going a totally different way into a totally different person. You want to say, who's this person? You know, why are they so important right now?
The things that you don't think about in terms of when there's a contract on someone's life, everything's up for grabs, including a slow death of food poisoning or even mold infestation. That's something you don't even think about, right?
Right.
But
well,
that,
see, they can afford to do that, Jewel. Well, they can do it. They can afford to do it, Jewel, because the time is on their side. You think of it. It's on their side because the elderly person, they've got a limited time. They really do. And so they've got to hurry up and make sure that they get all that money, you know, in a bank somewhere. But, you know, they can wait it out. They can just gradually poison them. No one knows it. Just all of a sudden, you know, Mrs. Jones don't act the same anymore. Yeah. You don't go to the bank anymore or anything.
Yeah.
Right, right. And somebody else comes to the bank and says, well, I'm, well, like for somebody else comes to the bank and says, well, I'm acting on behalf, I am her executor or whatever. You know, and I'm taking care of all her finances. These are things that you need to be looking at, people. When someone tells you that they've now got somebody that's handling their finances, you need to look into it.
Absolutely. When citizens are reporting these kind of RICO crimes on these vast levels, is law enforcement looking into peer-to-peer transactions? Are they looking at how people are getting paid in communities to do these kind of acts? Because that could pretty much wrap up a case right there. I mean, how does everyone upstairs, downstairs, in between, all around get paid to do these things, right?
Right.
I mean, it's,
these
are things that
I think that how we just come, we've come full circle, Jewel. Full circle.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't, you know, think that I'm a genius, but, you know, just working in financial crimes, I know that these things can be detected, and I just feel like someone, or not just one, but people are compromised in law enforcement or just sleeping on the job. Something's going on because there should be no way that this kind of escalated organized crime should continue.
Well, you remember when we had Miss Nina Ritchie. You know, she told us of what went on in UK. And basically that's exactly what, that they had the members of their parliament that basically they looked to the different side whenever they saw the Freemason and he was doing all these things, and they knew outwardly and blatantly that he was lying, but it was because they could profit off of his profits. Basically.
Yes.
And so they turned a blind eye to it. And so she's facing that there. It's everywhere, people. And that's what Jewel is trying to say. It's not just one particular isolated instance. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
It's happening.
Avarice is the root of all evil. Avarice is the root of all evil.
And it's the greed that is kind of being the force behind this corrupt engine. And those that are even willing to speak up and say, this is what's happening behind the scenes, well, they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to target you. If you're not going to shut up, we're going to do these fraudulent transactions on your account so that you are stifled and you don't have a bank account. How about
that? Well, look what they did to Nina. I mean, they ruined her.
Yeah. That's what
financially,
they did.
Financially, socially, every way possible, they ruined her car, right? They
wanted to keep me isolated and stagnant.
Yeah. And they'll do it, people. It's just, you know, I mean, you don't have to be rich. You could be poor and still be, you know,
yes.
targeted.
Yes.
It could be so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. It could be that you did something way back there and it's because of your goodness and your mercy and all these types of things that people were jealous of you. And they just just thought like, this person doesn't deserve to live. You know, I need to take their thunder. I need to take the wind out of their sails. And they do.
Yes.
They do.
You nailed it. You nailed it. For whatever reason, they feel like you were blessed, immensely. And, they should be entitled to your blessings given to you by God.
Hey, Jewel, I'm going to ask you a question, honey. Do you feel like you've been blessed? Do you feel like that you're privileged? Do you really?
You know
what I'm saying?
Not financially, I'll tell you that, but
spiritually, yes, of course, spiritually, I do say we are.
But
I'm talking physically,
absolutely.
Financially.
Absolutely. I definitely feel like there's been a special covering over my life from childhood to adulthood with all of the madness I've endured from family members.
Yes.
I definitely think that I've been blessed beyond measure to still be here to share with you guys.
Which made them even more angry. Which made them even more angry. Which made them more determined to bury you. Literally, bury you.
Yes.
And it's not because, and I really think, Jewel, you know, it's not so much the actual money. I think it's the status. I think it's the ability that they have the right to do so, or they think they do.
Yeah.
That they could just ruin you.
Yeah. And that to me, that behooves me, Thomas, because never in my life with any career I have been in did I ever think, oh, I could utilize this position to ruin someone else.
Right.
And I'm going to be frank with you, because even with working in financial institutions, we get access to certain systems where we could look up background information on people. And I have never used these systems to look up anything about anyone else. You know, this person owes me money. Let me see if they bought a boat recently. No!
Right.
It's just, it doesn't come to mind that this is what I should be doing. However, there are many people that will use their titles, positions, affiliations with groups to ruin and kill somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Freemasons, I can say a bunch, yes.
That is insane, absolutely insane. But is it happening? Yes, it is every single day. And
more so than we ever thought.
You could even count. There's probably so many cold cases out here of people in their 40s, 30s, dying very young. And
you wonder why.
Cold case. This is what's happening behind the scenes, guys. This is what's happening. And this is why Brother Thomas and I are pretty much putting it out there. Even as we deal with the retaliation, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Well, Jewel, years ago, like, say, for instance, like you were saying, people who were younger age, I don't remember if you know this, but I'm older than you, so maybe I know about it. When someone died suddenly, they said they just came up with consumption. The word consumption. Now, what is consumption, if you break it down, what does it mean? They came up with sumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So consumption.
Yeah.
So they developed consumption. So this, in a con, you see? Consumption. Get it? So this, they created, they created this storyline. And so when these people came up with these illnesses or whatever, so quickly, they said, oh, they just died of consumption. They died of a con.
Wow.
And they assumed, maybe they consumed something, Jewel. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Consumed sumption. See? This is what they were getting at. In other words, they were trying to tell the story here, people, and we simply didn't get the headline.
Wow.
What they were trying to say.
Oh my God.
What they were actually trying to say. Yeah. And poisoning has been something that has gone on for, good God, since the beginning of time. There's been poisoning, has there not?
Yes.
I mean, think about it. And so the poisonings, you know, that ended that person's life. But it didn't stop what was going on. No, it didn't. And so, you know, it goes on. Yeah. But we just need to be waking up to it. And go, Jill, I am so glad that you can look at it from the opposite side of the window. Okay. Or opposite. I'm going to get back to the mirror. You can look at it from the other side of the mirror. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we can't see from the other side of the mirror, but you're letting us see that other side of the mirror. And we need to realize that, you know, there are people in these organizations that will take advantage just because they can.
Mm-hmm.
And they're encouraged to do these things just because they can. And we need to step up to the plate and say, oh, no, you can't. You're not going to get away with this anymore. I know that Aunt Sally never had this person in her life before, and all of a sudden something's going on. So we need to look into Aunt Sally and try to rescue Aunt Sally from a death she ain't looking for, you know, or life that she's being tortured with, because there are people out there every day that are looking to demise people.
Create a complete illusion of reality, and then try to have that person labeled as unstable, but they're creating an illusion.
Right.
They're intentionally doing things
to
alter reality.
Right. Let me tell you something about that. So even on TikTok, I don't know if y'all are aware of it, but on TikTok now, you cannot say the word dead. You cannot say the word death, because if you do, they'll ban you. You know what they have to say, Jill? Unalived.
What?
Unalived.
Oh, yes. I've heard that a few times, and I didn't realize that was the reason why.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You can't say so many people were dead. No, they were unalived. What the Dead means that you're no longer living, but now they say they want to call them, they said they're unalived. Mm-hmm. Unalived. Because otherwise, that's going back to George Orwell. 1984, your big brother's watching, so you gotta watch what you're saying. Ooh.
Yes.
And now we can't even talk about the Bible anymore. We can't even get what we're doing right now, Jewel, and we're reading scripture and all this stuff. We could go to prison.
Wow.
With the things that they have just passed in our government, saying that we're being anti-Semitic if we read the scripture, if we talk about God, we could go to prison.
What we're doing is we are triggering an awakening into truth.
Exactly.
The problem is that they would like people to continue to be in the dark so that they can abuse people spiritually and physically and create these illusions to target innocent people. And the more that we shed light on the tactics and things that they use, that's a problem for this.
And Jill, can I how you like to throw a plug in for your side business? Can I throw a plug in for me?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So y'all don't know this, but my story about my life, as far as my health, everything goes down the hill, was published first on YouTube. And that was one thing. But in 2023, through TikTok, I met an author, and he wanted to know my story, and so I sent it to him, and he says, oh my God, Thomas, he says, this story's got to be told. I said, really? And he says, yes. And he says, I want you to know that I'm writing a new book. I said, you are? And he says, yeah, I've already got the title for it. Jill, wait for it. Awakening the Republic. So this is the book, Awakening the Republic, and the author's name is Shawn, S-H-A-W-N, T as in Paul, Starry, S-T-A-R-R-Y. Now, my story is in that book. I am the first story in that book. And it tells about everything that I dealt with the vaccine injury. It tells about everything that went on with me in the hospital. It tells about everything that went on with me after the hospital and what I'm facing even today. And so when I saw it in black and white when you sent me the book, people, and you can get it on Amazon. I'm plugging Amazon. I shouldn't, but there are other bookstores. I'm sure you can get it at. It's like $30. It's a well good read because this author is phenomenal. But basically, when I saw that my story was in black and white print, I called him up and I said, Sean, I can't believe this. And he said, Thomas, he says, why can't you believe it? He said, you are an anomaly. And I said, yeah. And he says, you are a force to be reckoned with. And he says, your story needed to be told. Now, yes, you did tell it on YouTube, but when it's in a book and you get so many more people can read it. And I don't know, people, if you really know about what can happen with books, but he told me the possible readership for this book, Jewel, 30 million people could read about my simple story and my simple prayer. So just know this, people, that whatever adversity that you're facing, if you put your trust in God, if you put your faith in God, He'll get you through it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you turn and want to rely on the doctors, the doctors, Jewel, oh God, the doctors, or the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors in the hospitals, I'll tell you why I wrote my story to begin with. You mind me doing this, Jewel? Is it okay?
Yeah, I have to wrap it up soon, so keep that in mind.
I know. We're going to make it really quick. So the reason why, we're always over time. The reason why I wrote the story is I wanted to be a voice for those who could not speak. And we've done a podcast, Voice of the Voiceless. And so that had a lot to do with it. And what it is basically these people who had adverse effects to the vaccine, to the jab, they so-called call it now. They went to their doctors and they went to the hospitals and they said, I need you to help me. One of the first signs of issues with the vaccine, a lot of people had tinnitus or tinnitus, and it's a high-pitched screaming, ringing in the ear. And so badly that they actually suffered, they couldn't think, they couldn't sleep, they couldn't work. And they went to their doctors, they went to the hospitals, they said, please help me. I don't know what I can do.
I got to tell you, I'm sorry, Brother Thomas, I don't mean to cut you off, but remind me, there's something I want to mention about that ringing in the ear at a later time.
Okay. All right. I will. So anyway, they went to them and they said, you know, you need to help me. And they're saying, well, when did this happen? You know, when did you start having these? You know, when you go to the doctor, they say, well, can you tell me when the symptoms happened? And well, they did. And they said, yeah, when I had the vaccine. They said, oh my God. They wouldn't even let them finish the sentence. They said, you're one of those. You're one of those anti-vaxxers. I said, no, sir, I'm not. I took the vaccine. I did exactly what society said. I was being protective. I tried to do exactly what they said. But now I'm suffering. And they said, you ain't suffering from nothing. You just got anxiety. Just take 2 aspirin and go home and leave me alone. Well, people, you know what those people went home and did? This is why I say that they became, I wanted to be the voice of those who could not speak. Because they didn't speak anymore. They killed themselves. They committed suicide. So these governments have blood on their hands. And they should be held accountable. And that's why I wrote the story. That's why. Amen, amen.
Thank you so much. Amen, amen. Briefly, I'm going to say really quickly, and I'll probably elaborate a bit more about it on another podcast, but a lot of people don't realize that when you experience that ringing in your ear, that's usually the first sign of your spiritual team or ancestors trying to communicate with you. And we're never told this. You don't know this. And so you immediately run to the doctors thinking something's wrong with you because it's, you know, something you've never experienced before, and you panic, and they put you on drugs to disconnect.
And they'll normally say you have high blood pressure, High blood pressure is what they say.
They'll tell you it's something else to deter you from the spiritual aspect. And a lot of times your ancestors, your spiritual guides, your team is trying to warn you. And I can tell you from experience because, well, my family tried to kill me and they warned me and to get up out of there. So a lot of times when it gets to that point, it's like they're trying to get your attention big time. So that's just a little spiritual advice, so you don't panic the first time you hear that ringing, in one of your ears. Take a deep breath, slow down, and kind of observe where you're at, what you're doing, and take note of it and see where you are the next time it happens as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something, Jewel, about that. I actually have a ringing in my ear. I do, but I ignore it. You know, you can compartmentalize a lot of things in your brain. And so if I let it come to the forefront, if I let it take over, it can dominate. But I choose not to.
Yeah.
So I choose to shut it out. So as long as, and the only time I usually hear it is when it's quiet at night and there's no sound. If I concentrate on it, then I'll hear it. Then I'll hear it. And it's a horrible sound. It really is. But and there's no control in it. There's not.
No, and that's what I'm trying to tell you is it's not that anything is wrong with you per se, Thomas. It may just be one of your ancestors reaching out to you and communicating with you. And,
wow.
And that's a beautiful thing. It may be a little bit uncomfortable and scary at first, but it's a beautiful thing that's the time where they feel that they have you alone and you're paying attention to them and not the television and the phone calls and all of the other stuff. So
yeah, because the day-to-day things drown it out. Yeah, the day-to-day things drown it out.
Yeah.
And that's the way I do it. That's the way I've chosen to do it. I've had that for years. And now that I think about it, but I chose to drive it out. I would not, you know, focus on it because if I did, it would drive me insane. It could be that bad.
I think it happens to a lot of people, and they've done the same thing, just act like it's not happening. But the moment that you embrace it and realize, wait a minute, that could be a warning or that could be a message.
That's amazing, Jewel.
It's when you start to see the world a little differently. Yeah.
Yes.
Remember,
and you could start discerning. Maybe that's what the reason why I guess it's quieted down now is because I'm already focused.
You started opening your eyes and answering the call already, Thomas. So maybe they're proud of you. And that's the thing. I always remind people, remember, we are spiritual beings here having a human experience, first and foremost.
Right.
So with that said, I want to get ready to close out.
This has been wonderful, Jewel. It really has. I hope the people have enjoyed it.
Thank you, Thomas. In closing, guys, I want to kind of emphasize that we all have freedom of religion and spirituality, supposedly, in this country.
Yeah, God gives
us
that.
But if someone else's religion is to kill another person, then that is terrorism. Point blank, period. No way around it. And there was no, there's just, like I said, there's no way around it. And it needs to be addressed right here in our country if it's continuous.
Amen.
Before we have these mandatory drafts and have to be compelled to place our children on lists to fight wars claiming that we're fighting against terrorists, I think we need to face the terrorists homegrown.
Inside. You got that right. That's exactly right. We are the evil one. We're considered to be and I never thought that, Jewel. Did you ever think that you as being the United States, the U.S. of A., that we were so hated in the world? I did not know that.
I've grown to, I've gotten to know different cultures very well and hearing their perspective of things that we were taught in history and realizing that their history doesn't really commence with our history.
They wanted us to conform to our ways of the Western way, right? They wanted those people to conform to the Western culture, right? But what was wrong with their culture? They had a belief, you know, system. They had a God they worshipped. They did. You know, that's like, remember that one of our listeners said he wanted to do a podcast about world religions and the importance of them. Well, this is it. Prime example. You know, I think even the indigenous tribes, they got up every morning. They knew that somebody put them on this earth, and they said their songs of praise or whatever to that being, to Mother Earth. Sometimes it was Mother Earth or whoever, but they focused on that there was an ultimate higher being that they would look up to and they would be focused on. And is when they focused on that upper being, then their life was in congruence. You follow what I'm saying, Jewel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Here's the thing, guys. I just want to close out in saying, let's remember not to let them steal our feet, which is today's topic.
Right.
You guys are blessed. You guys are whole, and you have a seat in the kingdom. Do not give that up to anyone to be a part of any group or take your blood
on
that.
Don't sell your soul.
To receive your connection to God. That is your first and primary seat. And hold on to it. I urge you guys, because we're in a time where people are selling each other out, and you're gonna have to make some decisions sooner or later where you stand and who you serve.
You know what it is? They want our souls. That's what they want.
Yes.
They want to steal our souls.
If you're not gonna volunteer it up by saying you're going to be a part of these hateful sacrificial practices, then they figure they can just snatch it from you and take you out. And so we're here today to say, no, you're not gonna steal
my
feet. I'm
just say no. Remember that program, Jewel, that they said for drugs? Just say no.
Yes.
Well, it's true.
Absolutely,
it's true.
Brother Thomas, the answer is no. I'm not going to sacrifice anyone, and I'm not going to allow you to sacrifice me. I am accepting my seat next to our Father in Jesus
Amen.
Christ and standing in my authority here on earth. And that's
Amen.
The bottom line.
Amen. Amen,
so
Jill. Woo-hoo. Yes, I love it. Just say no, people. Just say no. Take the wind out of their sails, Jewel. That's what we can do. Taking the wind out of their sails. We'll put a stop to it. Damn, if we won't do that, just say no. Mm-hmm. Just say no.
Yes, yes. And so if anything we said today resonates with you and you have liked what we said, please continue to follow our podcast. Push that follow button on Spotify. And as Brother Thomas always emphasizes, we want to hear from you. Share your comments.
Yes, please.
So we can read it back. I have a few comments here before I close from the last podcast.
Cool.
Which one is from Kevin Wichita, and he says, we appreciate your work. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Appreciate
your support. Nice to
be appreciated. That's
it
encouragement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is. Thank you, Kevin. Shout out to you. Christy Schneider said that podcast was beautiful. Thank you, Christy. I think you're beautiful. I appreciate you supporting
for coming forward. Yes.
Podcast.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love the comments. I love it. Love it. Thank you. Thank you.
Grayson Mukashima said thank you for sharing, and he's always just so kind and supportive. So you're absolutely welcome. And to all who haven't had a chance to listen, we reposted the podcast several days ago that was hacked. So you please take the time out to listen. It's a really good one. Just as
otherwise,
good as
you're gonna get a repeat of Jezebel.
we don't want to go back there again. So check it out, and we look forward to talking to you guys the next time we meet.
Amen.
Is that correct, Reverend Thomas? Amen.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Until then.
Yes, ma'am. We look forward to it. Oh, Jewel, do you have a little jewel? I'm sorry. You know, a little nugget?
Well, usually I leave you guys with a little nugget every week. This week, I don't have a particular nugget that comes to mind, but I do want you guys to reflect on Thomas's reading, which I thought was beautiful. And I want you guys to please, please reconsider giving up your seat. If I could leave you with anything this week, I would emphasize that. Stand firm, stand on your business, and hold your ground, because we're in for a bumpy ride, guys.
Just say no, people. Just say no.
Just say no. Thank you,
love
and
it.
Have a nice week.
Thank you. Have a good week.